Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Dalton Irvin from the Diocese of Victoria in Texas. Joining me are Jonathan Torres from Charlotte, North Carolina, and Gordon Mott from here in the Diocese of Columbus. Today we're going to talk about holy places and holy trips. But before we do that, why don't we start with prayer in the words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. So today's topic, holy places and holy trips, was really brought to my attention as we prepare for the typical trips to Rome and the Holy Land by the seminarians at the Josephinum. The third-year theologians will travel to Rome right after Christmas to make a five-day retreat in Assisi before spending some time in the eternal city of Rome, while the deacons will go on to the Holy Land to see the places where Jesus himself walked to prepare for their ordination to the priesthood. And as we all know, while these are two of the holiest places we have in mind, there are many other churches, cathedrals, shrines here in our own country and also abroad to be visited. And so, Jonathan, just to introduce this, I see you have a little list there, maybe some of your favorite places.
Yeah, recently I've been given the opportunity to go to Mexico, and in Mexico, specifically Michoacán and Jalisco and Mexico City, I had the opportunity to visit a lot of cathedrals and basilicas and churches. A couple that stood out was in the capital of Michoacán, Morelia, the Cathedral of the Divine Savior of Morelia. Beautiful, absolutely. I haven't had the opportunity to travel abroad much, and so, you know, seeing these churches that are hundreds of years old with so much history and beauty was just jaw-dropping. Another basilica that I saw in Jalisco in San Juan de los Lagos was Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan. Cathedral, just massive. You can fit a few of our, you know, average-sized parishes in these basilicas. And then, of course, probably the most popular one that most people are familiar with is our the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. There is the original basilica, and then there's a newer basilica aside from on the side of that. But the older one is fascinating because it was an earthquake that struck that site, and you can see the facade of the basilica kind of leaning towards you. And so it's very disorientating. But the fact that it's still there, you know, it underwent an earthquake, just the amount of history and even our history of our own faith too, not just history in the Mexican secular sense, the impact that that had on not just Mexico, but the world too. You can feel yourself as part of something bigger when you're there. So those are kind of the basilicas and holy sites that I've visited recently that really struck me. So,
Gordon, what about you? Are there any places of pilgrimage, churches, chapels that stick out to you?
Yeah. So being from the great Diocese of Columbus, we really are fortunate. We've got some just amazing things nearby. I myself, I'm really very fond of going to the Shrine of Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio. It's a little bit of a drive from here to Columbus, but it's always felt to me like, you know, we hear about New Yorkers who live within driving distance of the Statue of Liberty, and we say, oh, well, how is it that they've never gone, ever? And meanwhile, here we have a basilica, you know, within a two-hour drive, and it was a big part of my conversion journey. And since then, I generally make twice a year pilgrimages up there, and it's been a huge part of my spiritual life. Also, we have the Maria Stein Center nearby, which is just absolutely spectacular.
Gordon, what's a little bit of the story behind the Stein Shrine?
The Maria Stein Center is just north of Dayton, but it also has the largest consolidated collection of relics in the Midwest. And not that Cary is anything to sneeze at, but if you go to Cary and you think, well, there's a lot, then you're going to be blown away by Maria Stein. and then there are a couple of guys from the area who also like to go down to the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. There's a pilgrimage site down there, commonly known as the Rosary Stairs, where people will go during Lent in order to pray the rosary as they're going up and down these steps, which is really something to see, because you go during Lent and you just see just huge lines of people engaged in this. And to see, you know, acts of penance taking up by an entire community of people, when we're used to just seeing the community come together at like penance services and things, it's really something and striking interiorly, and then to take part in that as well.
That's great. I know another place of pilgrimage that could be a day trip from here in Columbus is up to St. Anthony's Chapel in Pittsburgh. Mm. I don't know if either of you joined that trip last year with Father Lou Iacello and now Deacon P.J. Brandimarty, Deacon of Columbus. They went up to see St. Anthony's Chapel. A chapel began by a priest of Pittsburgh who came from family wealth. And he just started acquiring and building this huge collection mm-hmm. of holy relics. Really a great place. I visited once when I went with Deacon PJ to visit his family. And it was just an incredible experience to be surrounded by so much holiness. You know, men and women who have really lived out this faith in charity. And so other than that, I haven't traveled a whole lot in this area. But driving between Texas and Columbus, Ohio, quite a bit, I drive straight by the Shrine down in Alabama. And once I did stop just to catch a look. I couldn't take too long out of my drive. But just what a beautiful shrine there, built by Mother Angelica mm-hmm. And the community at EWTN. Have either of you visited the shrine?
I have, yeah. It's been a really long time, but I remember even as, you know, younger, as a child, going there and being struck and how big the place was. And it was very beautiful.
Yeah. For myself, being down in the Diocese of Victoria, we have a series of churches that are places of pilgrimages, local pilgrimages. And they're called the Painted Churches. The Czech and German immigrants that came to the area were used to these gigantic cathedrals of Europe. Mm. And when they came to South Central Texas, they had an importance of the faith in their lives. And so they built these wood frame churches and then had beautiful murals of faux marble or mm-hmm. frescoes painted all over the church. And I know people make those pilgrimages from all over Texas to come and see these churches, both for the faith and then also for the cultural mm-hmm. Connections, Czech and German descendants. Other places around the United States are the cathedral in Covington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I know it's one of the best depictions of medieval cathedrals, mm-hmm. If you would, that we have. And St. Patrick's Cathedral, the National Parish Church in New York.
Yeah. Growing up in New York, I've had the opportunity to visit that a lot, often. And, you know, Gordon mentioned something earlier about New Yorkers never, you know, going to see the Statue of Liberty, if you know, because they take it for granted. I can kind of say the same thing. I'm guilty of that. just kind of taking for granted, you know, the St. Patrick's Cathedral. But I think we do that on a larger level too. You know, as Catholics, we have an opportunity to just constantly be with our Lord. Daily Mass is offered all the time, and sometimes we let our familiarity with the faith get in the way of that that freshness and newness that, you know, we sometimes want when we approach our Lord. And so, you know, that, I think that's an experience that we can all relate to.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point that you make, Jonathan. So.
You're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Dalton Irvin from the Diocese of Victoria in Texas. Joining me are Jonathan Torres of Charlotte and Gordon Mott from Columbus. Now that we've talked about a few shrines, a few chapels, pilgrimages that we've made around here, I think it's important to kind of distinguish between vacation, maybe stopping by to visit one of these places or making the trip, versus a true pilgrimage and what it means to make pilgrimage to a place. And so I don't know, Jonathan, if you'd like to begin with that distinction between vacation and pilgrimage in your own experience.
Yeah. I would say the idea of pilgrimage is very... very Catholic. It's a very Catholic idea, and it's this idea of beginning at one place, typically at a lower state. If you want to interiorize this personally, starting at a lesser place of being, as it were, and moving to a higher place. And so that's kind of expressed in this physical moving from one place to another. And so this idea of travel is very, I think, is very human. Not only very Catholic, but very human. It gets to our, calling, as it were, of being what I think it was Gabriel Marcel called the homo viator, the pilgrim man. And you see that, you know, throughout the ages of, you know, I think of Chaucer, all these epic tales of journeying. And that's kind of our life. You know, we're journeying to heaven, you know, that's the idea behind this. We're, you know, in transit. And so this idea of pilgrimage as and being expressed in these groups of people going and journeying to specific sites, I think that's a very spiritual idea. And of course, that's distinguished between just going on vacation, you know, taking a break from your life and relaxing. That's kind of done more, in and of itself, more self-centered, whereas I think the pilgrimage is more focused outward, yeah. Especially when it's done in community with other people. You really get that sense of something bigger than yourself, you know, being in community with those of your own faith. I think it's a mirror of what we're called to be as communion going towards God. And so,
sure, a going out and seeking the Lord. So kind of what brought up this whole topic in my mind was the trips to Rome, were the trips to Rome and the Holy Land that we make as seminarians. And both of these retreats, these pilgrimages, are lined up as the canonical retreats required for men preparing for ordination. The Rome trip for men preparing to for diaconate ordination, and the Holy Land for men preparing for ordination to the Holy Priesthood. And I think it's significant to understand why the Church calls us to make these retreats for us in these two trips, more pilgrimages, making travel, to go and be in the presence of these holy places where holy men and women have stood before us. I mean, just soaking in that beauty. So do either of you have something to say as to why the Church would call us to do that at this juncture in our lives?
Well, Gordon? I think that speaks to the nature of pilgrimage, right? Because religion, I think properly understood, is relationship. And relationships have a particular dynamic to them. Your relationship with your friends, your relationships with your family. They're always in movement. You're either moving closer or you're moving further away, but they're always in movement. And so when I make a, if I were to just make a trip, a little sightseeing vacation, that's really just all about me. And a relationship is about self-gift, about listening and sharing, you know. And so the necessity of us making pilgrimages at this time in our lives, as we prepare to become a deacon, well, deacons are ordained to serve. And who do they serve? They serve the bishop. So then it makes good sense that we would go see the bishop of bishops and then, God willing, preparing for holy priesthood. You know, now you're preparing to be an alter Christus, Christ visible in the world. That being the case, it's appropriate to go and retrace Christ's steps, because, God willing, we'll spend the rest of our lives retracing Christ's steps. You know, and the pilgrimage allows enough time for us to really kind of enter into the depths of that relationship where he can speak to us and we can receive that particular message.
Sure. And I think it's, you know, not all men preparing for diaconate go to Rome, not all men preparing for the priesthood go to the Holy Land, but those are significant reasons why we do and that we have that opportunity through the Josephinum to do that. It also entails this coming away out of the routine of formation, I believe, to step out of that kind of fast track or the busyness of it all and hear the Lord's voice affirming this call to orders that you and the bishop have discerned to gain that assurance. And it's also significant to remember that once you're ordained a priest, retreats continue, and they take the form of pilgrimages as well. Leading others on pilgrimage is an important part of a priest's life as well. For myself, one pilgrimage that stands out to me that began as a vacation in my own mind was World Youth Day in 2011 in Madrid. I was a college student, and I saw this opportunity to go to Spain. I had never been abroad before, and I jumped on that trip really quick and went with no real intention of pilgrimage, of holiness. It was more to see the Holy Father, to see Spain, all that. And it really flourished into this great spiritual wellspring of just being in these cathedrals that were larger than anything I had ever seen before. Sitting in pews that people were sitting in centuries before America was a thing was just really incredible. And so I don't know, do y'all have any personal stories of visiting Jonathan?
Personally, I'm sensitive to beauty, as romantic or, you know, corny as that would sound. But I do think these cathedrals are great examples of beauty, as it were. And I've heard stories of people walking into cathedrals in Europe and just falling on their knees and weeping in conversion, you know. And I think that that's a very powerful way that God is able to bring people to himself. You know, you have people catechizing through truth and reasoning to the truth, examples of holy people with their goodness that shines forth. But I think beauty has a very special way of touching people's hearts that kind of surpasses their defenses that they may put up, and it gets to the heart and emotion of a person, and so I think that's very much connected to, you know, these holy places that we're talking about, especially when you see the history and tradition that brought these places to what they are now. It just overwhelms you, and sometimes you just can't explain it, and so yeah, I just think that that's a very powerful human experience when you see these places.
Yeah, I experienced that this summer as well with the California missions. This, you know, just incredible, the historicity of it all, as you mentioned earlier, and the beauty that lifts you out and to imagine these things long ago. As we kind of begin wrapping up, what are some of the tips you would give to men and women preparing for a pilgrimage or even thinking about preparing for a pilgrimage?
Well, I think that my primary bit of advice would be to not go into it with a particular set of expectations. Because when you do that, you kind of close yourself off to what God can say to you. And one thing that I've discovered in, say, for example, my pilgrimages to Cary, is I always have an unexpected guest. The trip has always got an element of surprise involved. And that surprise is always just a tremendous blessing in my life.
Thank you, Gordon. Jonathan, do you have anything to add to that? Tips for a pilgrimage, planning a pilgrimage?
Yeah, I would just say, I think that's good advice, Gordon. To rid yourself of expectations, perhaps some novena or prayer in preparation for that, reading up on pilgrimages, you know, looking up these sites that you're about to visit to get kind of just an idea of what you're getting into. But I think prayer is definitely helpful, especially during the pilgrimage too. You don't want to just walk and, you know, forget what you're doing. Praying during the pilgrimage is very helpful, and that's usually built into that, into pilgrimages. So,
yeah, I would add just many pilgrimages are tied to some sort of an indulgence. Mm-hmm. And so as you prepare for a pilgrimage, to kind of follow those norms of the indulgences, a confession, mm-hmm. A reception of the Eucharist, praying for the Holy Father at these sites or churches, anytime you visit a new opportunity for indulgence. Mm-hmm. So those would be my tips as well, just joining both of you. I would have one more point to kind of bring up as we talk about these holy places and holy trips is something I heard Gordon talking earlier about, the natural beauty that surrounds us and how that can be an encounter with the divine as well. And Gordon, I don't know if you have anything to share with that.
Well, what I was talking about earlier was, you know, we tend to think that holiness is a thing that is inaccessible to us in our current state or where we are or in ordinary circumstances, or that deep prayer or that moving spiritual experiences are inaccessible to us. And so I was talking about one of my favorite places to go just to pray and make a retreat is actually not a shrine at all. It's Headlands International Dark Sky Park up in Michigan, which has the darkest night sky viewing in the continental United States. It's so dark you can watch the Milky Way rise. Hmm. And on the right day, you can watch the Northern Lights. And to sit there and just take in the grandeur of creation and understand that God made it out of pure love for you, and not just of you, but of every other person on this planet. And when you can kind of soak that in, it's kind of mind-blowing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's also significant in making pilgrimage, is it's a journey, and you go by a lot of natural beauty on your way, and so not to miss what's around you as you make pilgrimage.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the number one place you want to visit as a pilgrimage?
I really want to go to Florence, Italy. There's a lot, you know, I think it's referred to as the birthplace of the Italian Renaissance. And I'm kind of a sucker for, you know, Italian poetry and all that stuff. Dante, you know, that's the birthplace of Dante. And so I would love to visit the, I think it's the Basilica of Maria something. I can't remember the name exactly now, off the top of my head right now. But yeah, I would love to go to Dante to Florence.
So. That's great, Jonathan. Gordon, notwithstanding the dark space, what's your number one bucket list pilgrimage?
It would be a toss-up between either visiting San Girolamo, which was the first parish where St. Philip Neri was pastor, or going to Einsiedeln Cathedral, where there's a great story about how there was a miracle associated with their altar. And I encourage people to Google it because it's cool.
That's great. Myself, I'm also a toss-up between Sagrada Familia in Barcelona.
That's a good
because
choice.
I'm a sucker for architecture, and it's such a feat. And I think just the centuries of work that have gone into it by faithful men and women would be an incredible experience to be in the midst of, as well as, I guess, and really my number one, what I'm planning to do, is a pilgrimage to the Czech Republic, where my ancestors come from, Bohemia, good King St. Wenceslaus, right. His grandmother, St. Ludmilla, where they walked in Prague, is just very attractive to me.
Yeah.
That's
and I'm
really
trying
cool.
to get a group together for that already.
Nice, nice.
And so, well, wow, that's quite a bit when it comes to pilgrimages and shrines to visit, a few day trips, driving distance here in Columbus. Some things to put on our own list for these next 2 years that we find ourselves in Columbus.
Yeah.
Other than that, thank you for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Let us end in a prayer, asking Our Lady to always be with us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Son.